Well, when there are stories that are important and need some digging into, we know who to go to. That's Chad Livengood, Detroit News reporter extraordinaire. And Chad, I wish you weren't so busy, but I'm glad you have been. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul W.
The front page of this morning's Detroit News, as then-speaker got personal benefits, lobbyist clients got favorable treatment. The story just keeps getting worse when you talk about Chatfield, and we'll do that in a moment. But let's talk about what we earlier had scheduled to talk about, and that is the clock is ticking on the Michigan Republicans voting for greater transparency. Explain that to me and our WJR listeners.
Yeah, so every year for as long as I've been covering Lansing, for a decade now, there has been a bill introduced to extend the Freedom of Information Act, Michigan's public records law, to the legislature and the governor. Now, this seems kind of a little odd. The governor and the legislature, or the legislature proposes bills and the governor signs them. And when the FOIA law was created, well over 40 years ago, the legislature and governor exempted themselves. And they're the only entity of all levels of government, ambulance districts, school districts, cities, counties, state agencies that report to the governor are subject to the Freedom of Information Act, where the public can get records from their government, except the legislature and the governor's office. And so there's been a very concerted effort the past 7 years by a Republican state senator, Ed McBroom from the Upper Peninsula, and Democratic state senator Jeremy Moss from Southfield, to try to extend the FOIA law to the legislature and the governor. And there's a bill that is languishing in the state Senate right now that could very well be passed while the legislature is in session for its lame duck session, which begins Tuesday. Right now, they've just scheduled 2 days of work this month. And that comes after a pretty light schedule. They've worked, I don't have as many fingers on one hand that worked in the past 6 months. Basically, they have not worked hardly much at all since they passed the budget at the end of June. And so the legislature, this bill is sitting there, Paul W. This would bring greater transparency to state government, because this is my best example is if a lobbyist lobbies a Detroit City Council member for a real estate development project, and sends an email urging Coleman Young II, councilman, to vote for an ordinance or vote for their project, that email is subject to disclosure to the public. But when Coleman Young II was a state senator just a few years ago, and he would get an email from the same lobbyist, that communication is literally treated as a state secret. It's a pretty nonsensical carve out for the folks at the top of the government food chain in this state.
Well, and what you're saying in what you've written is that if the Republicans want to get this handled, they better get it before the new year, and they have no say.
Yeah, because the Democrats are getting the gavel on January 1st, and they will probably pass this bill, but they'll pass it under their own terms, and the Republicans won't have very little say in it. Although the new Democratic majority is narrow, 56-54 in the House and 20-18 in the Senate, so there's not a lot of room for error for the Democrats when it comes to controversial measures. Though it's hard to see why government transparency is such a controversial issue.
Well, it is, and it shouldn't be, because they keep talking about being transparent, and then we find out, as you pointed out, that, you know, we can find out what the chief of staff of a public university president is paid. We can't find out what a chief of staff serving us in the state of Michigan gets paid.
That's right.
You know, we're more directly, we're paying them all through our tax dollars, but more directly so in state government, and what's wrong with us knowing what's going on?
Yeah, in state government, we're paying 100% of the freight. At the University of Michigan, the taxpayers contribute about 6% of the operating expenses of the University of Michigan. So just for perspective, we can get all kinds of public records out of U of M and Michigan State, and all the other public universities, but we can't get the same type of records out of the governor's office or the Speaker of the House's office, which is a good way to segue back to the first story you mentioned.
Right.
That today in the Detroit News, Craig Mauger has an extensive investigation into former House Speaker Lee Chatfield and his many ties to the Lansing lobbying firm Government Consultant Services, Governmental Consultant Services, known as GCSI. And they're a big-time multi-client lobbying firm. They represent a variety different clients, including University of Michigan, that we mentioned earlier. And they had a very, very close relationship with the former speaker. And what we've uncovered is a number of bills that the speaker advanced that were GCSI clients. We also reported that GCSI wined and dined Lee Chatfield like no other speaker in the previous decade. They spent on him alone, they spent six times what they spent on the three previous speakers.
Wow.
And Chatfield's paid drink and food tab disclosed by lobbyists was like no other speaker in recent memory. I mean, the three previous speakers combined averaged $500 a year in lobbyist spending on drinks from GCSI, and he was a sixfold increase from that. So it's pretty pretty eye opening. And then some of the bills that they advanced at times, he also rented from the auto dealers group
so that it's clear, because people kind of half listen while they're getting ready in the morning. I want it to be very clear. We're not talking about the automobile group or the automotive group or organization that we always support and promote, the DADA, the Detroit Auto Dealers Association, have nothing to do with this story. It is the Michigan Automobile Dealers Association, two separate entities. Just want to make
correct.
That clear.
Separate entities, they're kind of cousins, but they are a separate entity. This is the statewide organization that represents all auto dealers, and they have some property in downtown Lansing where they have an office, and above the office there's a little apartment there, and Lee Chatfield rented it from them for all 6 years he was in office. Now there's nothing illegal about this per se, but what experts we talked to say it did violate the spirit of Michigan's disclosure law, because any group that lobbies legislators is supposed to disclose any kind of financial transaction with that legislator, and that's outside of their normal course of business. Now, the auto dealers sell cars, so they sold a car, or an auto dealership sold a car to Lee Chatfield. That's a normal course of business. But being a landlord and owning an apartment is not the normal course of business for folks who sell cars. And so that's one thing that we found that was pretty interesting. Also, they acknowledged that Lee Chatfield used his nonprofit social welfare organization known as the Peninsula Fund to pay his rent, which also very likely violated some federal tax laws.
Well, as you say on the front page of the Detroit News, experts say actions skirted spirit of rules. Chatfield's lawyer says all financial moves followed the law. And if that's the case, then that only goes back to what we were talking about earlier about Michigan Republicans voting for greater transparency. So it all comes full circle, and there we are again. Thank you for the good work you do, Chad Livengood. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thanks, Paul W.
Chad Livengood, Detroit News reporter extraordinaire. At 7:44 on a Monday morning edition of the Paul W. Smith Show at WJR, relentless, positive radio, when we can, as we continue.